Begin the current daf Masechtas Becharis daf Lamed Alf. Begin in the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the series of braises that were brought in regarding one of the elements that was mentioned regarding an opinion of the previous daf. If nechshav l'davar echad is nechshav l'chol tarah kula, which that was a braise that was discussing additionally the laws of chaverus, which is a higher standard of trustworthiness regarding tyrus. So then the Gemara brought in a series of braises regarding the laws of chaverus. On that theme, our Gemara continues. Tanabon l'na braise. This braisa is a continuation of a braisa we had previously brought, which the braisa had said that if someone's coming to accept the halachas, the standard, the status of chaveris, besides one thing, or let's say a kohen is accepting all the halachas of kohen besides one thing, or a levi is accepting all the standards of leviyah besides one thing, so we said that we don't accept him. And the braisa says that because the pasuk says, hamakar es dam hashlam, like we brought in the previous daf, someone has to accept all the halachas of kohen. Now, when the Kahanim do the willing of Hashem, what does it say regarding them? Chelkim nasati oisam mi'ishai, I've given them a portion from my fires. When they don't do the will of Hashem, what does it say? Migam b'chem b'yizkir delasayim, the closing of the doors. That's where our Braisa continues and says, v'kul and shechazur b'hen, so if they're not doing retzai nishal makam, but then they repent and they come back, ein mekablin oisam ne'ilam esdivrei meir. Meir says, we don't accept them anymore. Once they already refused that standard, they can't come back. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Ami says, if they come back in private, in secret, then they make noise, and then we don't accept them. But if they come out in public and they repent and they come back to their ways, then make noise, and then we do accept them. Now, Igadami, that those say a different version, that im asu divreim bimatmainius, if their initial ways that they had been doing was in private, but they didn't desecrate the name of Hashem out in the open, then make noise, and then we do accept them if they're coming back and they want to repent. But if they did their things that they were not accepting out in the open, then we don't accept them when they're coming back. They say, whether it was done in private or in public, or what they're coming back is in private or in public, either way, when they come back, we accept them. Because the pasuk says, repent, O wayward sons. We see that Hashem wants those to come back, and they can come back to the standards and the status that they want to come back to. And Amr Yitzchak ish Kfar Akko, a man from the village of Akko, Amr Rabbi Yechanan, says halacha kai says the halacha is like that peer, meaning Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Karcha, that either way a person could repent and come back and reclaim the status that he wants. Now, Tanabam Lun Abraisam, Berishayna Haya Imr, originally they said that Chavir Venasa Gabai, if someone was a Chavir, this high level of trustworthiness regarding these specific laws, and then he becomes an appointee from the king to be a tax collector from the Jewish people, which is something that was considered a flaw, which a person many times would be doing things that are inappropriate, taking money from Jewish people. So then they reject him from his status of being a chaver. Now, Pirish, if he removes himself from that post of being the tax collector, then we don't accept him, it's too late, like we said before, he's rejected already. Subsequently, they went back to say, no, Pirish harehu kokoladim. If he separates him from being a tax collector, then he's like everyone else, and he could go back to being this halacha b'chaver. As the Gemara illustrates with the following story, that Rav Huna bar Chiya, Itzruch Alei Shaita, he had his moment where all the sages of the Jewish people needed him to ask him questions in halacha. Now, Hava'ayil Gabei, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Arba Mea Zugad Rabbanan. So Rabbi Rav Yosef and 400 peers of rabbis were coming to him to ask him questions in law, in Jewish law. Now, Shama the Aswa, he heard they were coming. So Katuluhu, he went and he tied and he prepared for them. Arba Mea Tachtoki, 400 couches for them to sit on. Now, L'Saif Shamu the Nasagabai, at the end they heard that he became a tax collector. So Shokhali, they sent him, Zilcha Shibusei, Zilcha Dumasei, go and after what you consider distinguished to be a tax collector, and we're not going to anymore because you lose your distinguished character by being a tax collector. So Shachlahu, he sent to them, how'd you be? I retract, I'm not being the tax collector anymore. So Rabbi Yosef loy Azal, Rabbi Yosef still didn't go, and Rabbi Azal, Rabbi went to him. Now Rabbi Yosef, he said, Tanini will learn in the Braisa. Pirish, even if he removes himself in the post, Emakam loy, so we don't accept him back. Rabbi Amma says, no, but Tanini we learned, Chazul loyma, they subsequently said, Pirish, I reka call them. If he separates himself, he's like everyone else, and therefore he could go back to his status if he repents. Now the Gemara concludes with the following Braisa. Tanabon Lun Abraisa, which is the last of the simonim which we had. This last one was Gabai, and this one is Ba'atzmai. Tanabon Lun Abraisa, Kala B'chayris Adam Raya, a person could see to check regarding the if it has a mum kavua blemish in the firstborn animal, Chutz Mishal Atzmai, except his own animal, that he's not trusted. But V'rayas Kadashav, he could see his own kudshim, meaning if he has a karban shlom in his house and it develops a blemish, he could see and analyze to ascertain if it's a permanent blemish and then redeem it and then use it for unconsecrated purposes. And also ves masroisav, his maisa behem, which is the tenth of the animals of every 10-1, which is brought as a karban in Yerushalayim, where if it developed a blemish, which then is obviously not brought as a karban, and then it's deconsecrated, he could also check that. And also v'nishal taraisav, he could ask himself regarding, if he's proficient in halacha, he could ask himself regarding his tairis, if something of a doubt regarding it, if it became tummy or not, he doesn't have to go to a different sage, he could go ahead and answer that himself. So the Gemara explains, Amar, the Tana of the Braisa said, Kol b'cheres adam roya, a person could see all other people's firstborn animals to deliberate and say if it's a mumkav or not. Chutz mishal atzmei, except where if a kohen cannot see the blemishes of his own firstborns to say, oh, it's a mumkav, and then to permit it. So the Gemara is b'maiskin, what are we talking about over here? Ilei mebachad, if he's the one judge who's sitting and deciding this regarding his own firstborn animal, where if it's unblemished, he can't use it for his personal purposes. Mum kavua, he could. So if it's about one person, Mima Hemen, is he trustworthy? Is he believed in the first place? Anyone to permit a Bechar, even other people's firstborns? But the Mishnah tells us later on, the Vlamivavim Abeis, that when it talks about a Bechar develops a blemish, it says it could be slaughtered based on three people from the shul. So you need three people. So it can't be talking about it's just himself. So Elabit Loss, I'd rather talk about that there's three people. And the kain, the owner of the firstborn animal, is one of those three. So then the question is, Umi Chashidi? So then does everyone suspect because of him to say, oh, when it's his own Bechar, when he has two other judges with him, they cannot go ahead and permit it? But what's none? We learn in the Mishnah Masechta Yevamos, it says as follows. Regarding a woman that came in front of a rabbi, Mia no Oishal Cholza, if she did miyun, which is the process of when there was a minor girl who was married by her mother and her brothers, was married off, and then she could do miyun because she never really did a full-fledged kedushin with her own consciousness, her own knowledge. So before she becomes an adult, right when she becomes an adult, she could say, I refuse this marriage and just walk out. Oisha chotza, she did chalitza, which is regarding her brother-in-law, which is when her husband died without any children and there's an obligation of doing yibum. If she doesn't want to, they could do a procedure of chalitza. But either one of these procedures are essentially removing this woman from the possession of another man and permitting her to be married by other people. If she did these procedures before them in front of this sage, it's still permitted that Yisa'enah, that he could go ahead and marry her. And he's not suspect to say, oh, you know why he permitted her not to be married to that man or to that man. Oh, it's because he wanted to marry her. No, Mneshu Bezdin. Because he wasn't the only judge. It's a court of three people. So even if one person was one of those three and he goes and marries her, we're not going to suspect everyone because of that he's going ahead and marrying her. So you see that when there's three, we don't suspect. So why can't he see his own Bechar if he's one of three? Says the Gemara, Lo'il Bechad. Really, we're talking about that you're right. It's because he's the only one. But didn't we say you need three? Okay, the Amr of Chizda, Amr of Yechanan, like he says, in Masechtas Nadarim, and Dafayin Chesem and Aleph, that B'yachid Mumcha, there is an equivalent of a court of three when it's someone that's an individual that's a professional. So Hachanami B'yachid Mumcha, here we're also talking about someone that's proficient, that's an individual, where such a person could see a Bechar by himself, but only other people's, but not his own, because he might be biased, because if he has a Mumkavu, he could use it, if not, so therefore his own Bechar he cannot use. But then the question is, regarding all those other things that we said he could do by his own, the Braisa said, V'reyes kadashav. He could see his own kadashim. And that we don't suspect him to say, regarding really a passing blemish, that it's a permanent blemish, because of what's called malu l'shaka. Why should he lie? There we do trust him. Why? Because the ibayi, because if he really wanted that to take this kadashim and not use it as a carbon, but rather deconsecrate and use it for his own personal purposes, he could do it in a permitted way, without saying, oh, that it's a permanent blemish. Because Mitchell Alayu, he could ask regarding this to a sage and open up with a regret and say that I didn't want this to be hektish, because like you see, he wants it for his own personal purposes, and he could have said that I was sanctified in error. And then yes, it actually would that itself would remove it from its sanctity. So therefore, if he's saying that it's a permanent blemish, he doesn't have to lie. He could do it in a permitted way without doing that. Obviously, then we trust in that really because it's a permanent blemish. Now, in contrast, by the Bechai, by the firstborn, he didn't sanctify the firstborn because the Bechair is sanctified by itself from when it comes out of the womb. So since he can't say that, so he wouldn't have any other option of permitting it by being Mitchell Alayu. So therefore, we do suspect him that maybe when he's saying it's a permanent blemish, it's only so that he could be able to use it. Now, similarly, Umasreisa, we said regarding his Maisa Behema, there also we don't suspect him to say regarding a passing blemish that really it's a passing, but he's saying it's permanent that he could use it. Because the Ibai, if he wanted to initially, he could have done it in a permitted way before he even typed his flock, because Shadibi Mumin Bukuli Edri, he could put blemishes in his whole flock, which is not ruining the animal, just like make a nick in its lip or its ear, where it's not sanctified yet, the animals, to be like a promise of, oh, you're not put a blemish in the kachim, because they're not sanctified until after the tithing is done. And then he could do Maisa Behema, because Maisa Behema actually takes effect on blemished animals, like the Pasuk says, Mikachav Zayin, Lo Yivakar Bein Tev L'Ra. There's no difference if it's good or bad, so therefore, since he could have done it the permitted way, now that he's saying that it's blemished, we don't say that he's suspect, because he could have done it the permitted way, and therefore we don't suspect him. And so too, the Reis said, V'nishal Al Tah Reisa. He could also ask himself regarding his Tahiris, and he's not suspect to say that on something that's Tame, to say, oh, it's Tar, so that he could be able to use it, because if they really would be Tame, what would he be losing? You're right, he can't use it when he's Tahar, but the Chazal Bimei Tamasai, but he could use it in the days when he's Tame, which as Rashi points out, obviously Tomat Chulin, which even as Chulin, he can't use it when he's Tahar. So when he's saying this, that maybe he's Tame, he's saying it's Tahar, we don't suspect him, because, what do you mean? So okay, so he can't, but every kind has days when he's Tame, he wouldn't be losing it anyway. So we should believe him that when he's saying it's Tahar, because even if it's Tame, he could use it in the days that it's Tame. And the reason why we're saying it's chulin, because if it actually was truma that was tummy, then actually, no, he wouldn't be able to use it in b'mei tamasa, because truma that's tummy, actually, yeah, he wouldn't be believed, because then you can't use it in b'mei tamasa, because truma that's tummy is forbidden always to a kind. But to machulin, and therefore, since he could use it in b'mei tamasa, so therefore we can believe him when he says that's tar, and they could even use it b'mei tarasa. Handulach ad kami Yisrael chayav mishav. I turn to you, the fourth paragraph of Masechet Becharis Perek, until how much is the Yisrael obligated to hold on to that Bechar before he gives it over to the Kain, which speaks about different things regarding the transition of a carbon of a Bechar that's pasul, which means it has a mum kavua, and that which is tam, which then that takes us actually into the next Perek, Perek called Pesula Mekdashim, which continues on this theme regarding invalidations in Karbanis, and so too in contrast regarding the laws of a Bechar. So says the Mishnah, Kol Psuli HaMakdashim, all invalidations in a carbon, meaning if you have a kodshim that developed a blemish. So Hanasin LaHekdash, so the benefit goes to Hekdash, meaning if you get to charge more for that invalidated carbon, which now it can be brought as a carbon because it has a blemish, so then it's sold off, the additional benefit of that pricing goes to Hekdash, which the Gemara is going to explain how that is, and therefore, Nimkarin beitlis, it could be sold in the marketplace, which there's many consumers, and you could get a higher price. And v'nishchat mitlis, you could sell it, you could slaughter in the marketplace. V'nishkalim belitra, you could also sell it by weight, which is how the butchers usually sell regular chulin meat. Now, but that's only by regular kachim. Chutz min ha-bechayr v'ha-maiser, except for the bechayr and maiser, if they would be sold at a higher price, shani yasin labailim, there, regarding their blemished bechayr maiser, that benefit doesn't go to Hekdash. For example, by Bechayr, the benefit goes to the Kayin. Because when the Kayin gets the Bechayr, whether Tam or Mum, he gets either one, and he could sell the meat to whoever he wants to, because the meat of Bechayr could be eaten by any single person, that profit goes to the Kayin. And the Kayin here is called the Bailam of the Bechayr. So it's not going to Hekdash, it's going to the Kayin. So to Meiser, the benefit of selling it at a higher price goes to Yisrael owner. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. Since here the benefit is going to be for a commoner, not for a Hekdash, so therefore we're not going to disgrace the Kachim to treat it in a profane way to sell it in the marketplace. Rather, the halach is that he could sell it in his house. Now, although in his house it's not going to be commercial and going to have so many buyers, it still doesn't make a difference. We don't allow the disgrace of selling it out in the open. So too, he can't sell it by weight, rather with an estimate, because weight is also a form of disgrace. And if he's going to lose, okay, we don't care, because that doesn't allow us to cause a disgrace for Kachim. If Hekdash is going to gain, so then we allow that, but for a person, like in the case of Bechar Meiser, that we don't allow it. Now, because as the Mishnah reiterates what we said before, Psuli Mekdash, in contrast, a regular Kachim that develops a blemish, Hanayasin LaHekdash, there the benefit goes to Hekdash, and therefore we do allow these things to be done in the marketplace. Now, the Mishnah concludes, V'shoik l'mana k'neged mana b'bechar. Now, if he has pieces of chulamit that were already once weighed before, we know weighs as a litra, so then you could weigh the piece of meat of b'char opposites, although we say we can't use weights, that's only actual weights as a disgrace. But to take a piece of meat, which you know weighs that amount, you could use that as a counterweight to be able to weigh the piece of the b'char to sell that to another person. Now, Ketintam Beis, where the Gemara quotes that our Mishnah said, Kol psulei hamikdashin, all the things of kachim that were invalidated develop a blemish. So he said, Hanasan lehekdash. There, since the benefit goes to hekdash, so therefore we could do a little disgrace to it and sell it in the marketplace so that hekdash itself gets a higher price. Now, that the Gemara wonders, Amos, when is that talking about that selling this slaughtered meat that we're going to get a benefit to hekdash? Ile melacha pidyayna, if it's talking about after it was redeemed. But the question is, Hanasan lehekdash? If it's redeemed already, means to say somebody bought this hektish meat, bought the hektish animal, that benefit now when it's sold off goes to hektish? Hanosin da ba'amu. What do you mean? Whoever it is that bought the hektish meat, now he's selling, he already paid hektish. When he's selling the meat in the marketplace, he's getting the benefit. Seller rather, lefnei pidyani, must be, no, it wasn't redeemed yet. It's still owned by hektish, or whatever is sold from it, the benefits go to hektish. On that, the problem is nishchatan. Are you saying that it's slaughtered and then sold in the marketplace? But how could you sell it to go ahead and remove it to chulin after it was slaughtered? I mean to say, you're saying that when it's slaughtered, it's still by hektish. Now you want to sell it off, like the Mishnah said. You're selling the pieces in the marketplace. But habay hamada baracha. But the requirement is that an animal of hektish can only be redeemed only when it's alive. Why? The pasuk says in Mikra Chavzayin, v'hemeres habeimel afnei ha'kain, that you, the animal that you want to deconsecrate, you stand in front of the kain, v'herechais ha'kain, and then the kain evaluates it, and then you can go ahead and deconsecrate it. So, but if it's slaughtered, it can't stand in front of the kain. So how can you say that it's being sold after, that it's being sold before, when it was still owned by hektish, that hektish is getting the benefit, but that means when you're selling it, that's when you're deconsecrating, but it's already too late, you can't deconsecrate it, because it can't stand anymore, it's already dead. Now, so the Gemara says, Hanich leman damar, but it could be very well understood, according to the one who says, in the last parak of Masechta the Semura, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, that kachim is beach, kachim of things that were karbanis, that were for the altar, lohoye b'chalal madav aracha. Those things were not included in the halacha of having to stand and be evaluated. It's only by things like kachim b'degavai. So that you could say, okay, very good, that it's redeemed and sold after it was slaughtered. So yeah, its benefit is going directly to hektish. Now, eleman dam hoye b'chalal madav aracha, according to the one who says that kachim mizbech are also included in madav aracha, Michael, what are you going to say? How are you saying that it's talking about before it's redeemed? That's okay, so we're selling it, meaning we're redeeming and selling it off to someone in the marketplace going straight to hektish. But how can you say that requires some of the baracha according to that opinion? So Elo rather says Gemara, according to that opinion, la'ilam la'acha pidyon. You have to say, no, somebody already bought off the animal from hektish, what's called redemption, which is called deconsecration. Now, so then the question we asked, so my nosel hektish, so what's the benefit of going to hektish? Hektish already got their money. This guy who wants to sell now what he bought from hektish, why do we let him not sell in his house, but in the marketplace? That's a disgrace. Benefit to hektish? It's not going to hektish, it's going to him. Says the Gemara, it's going admi kara. It's going because of what's in the beginning. Meaning, when these people redeemed, in the beginning, this animal from hektish, because of what we're going to allow, yes, there's going to be a benefit to hektish. Because the kivin, the shari lumar, since the master, as we learned this halacha in the Mishnah, permits nimkarn bitlis for it to be sold in the marketplace, v'nishchad mitlis, and to be slaughtered in the marketplace, v'nishkon b'ledra, it can be weighed by weights after it's redeemed. So tafiu parak meikara. So this person who's buying from hektish will give an additional higher price. Because he says, hey, I can get a lot of money off this meat. Oh, if I buy from hektish and they don't let me sell in the marketplace, it's not worth it so much, it's not such a good investment. So yes, because this person is going to get a higher price, which is going to make the hektish get initially a higher price, that's why we allow other kachim besides Bechar Meiser to be sold and to be slaughtered and to be weighed in the marketplace and by weights. Now the Mishnah said, Chutz min ha-Bechar min ha-Meiser, but there's two exceptions. The firstborn blemished animal and the Meiser behema blemished. Shanos and Labailam. There, the benefit goes to the owners because none of that money goes to hektish regarding Bechar Meiser behema. That has nothing to do with hektish. Yes, they're sanctified, but it's not owned by the property of hektish. It goes to the owner, which is either the Kain or the Yisrael, and therefore, there we don't allow it to be disgraced by being sold in the marketplace. Now, so the Gemara wonders, So, but Bishlam and Bechar, we understand by the Bechar. So, okay, what is our Mishnah saying? Be'idlis hu delim mizdavin. It cannot be sold in the marketplace. But the inference is, but in this house, he could sell it. Ela Meiser, but we don't understand this that we're saying the other halacha of Meiser Behema. So you can't sell in the market, but Bevesim Mizdavin, but could you even sell it in your house? But Ratanya, in the Braisa, that a Meiser Behema cannot be sold at all. The Braisa says, Bebechor Nema, regarding the firstborn animal, the Pasuk says, in Bamidbar, says, Ach Bechor Shar, it says, however, the firstborn of the ox, or the firstborn of the lamb, or the firstborn of the goat, says, Loi Sifta, can't redeem it. Which that wording is distinct, which sounds like, okay, the owners cannot do pidyon, which is, pidyon is taking something from hektish, deconsecrating, saying that it's not hektish anymore, it's chulin, and now it's going to, the sanctity is going to be transferred to the monies. It's saying by Bechor, you can't do that. Now the inference is, however, but the nimker, but it could be sold to someone else, meaning the sanctity will remain in it, but it could be sold when the kohen gets it, it could be sold chai, it could be sold live to someone else. That Bechor could be sold. It just cannot be redeemed. It can be deconsecrated. It will retain its sanctity. But Maisa Nema, now regarding but Maisa Behemet, says the Pasuk of Vayikra, which is talking about by the halacha of Maisa Behemet, like the beginning of the Pasuk says, like we mentioned before, regarding Maisa Behemet, we don't differentiate whatever the tenth animal is, that's going to be the one that's Maisa Behemet. Now, the Pasuk says that Vahayuhu Usmarasa Yekaidish, which is a different halacha, which talks about that this animal and its tamura, which is generally whatever kachim it is, including Maisa Behema, and if you try to swap its sanctity, what's called tamur, to another animal, so that the Pasuk says actually both of them are going to be sanctified. And the Pasuk concludes, lo yigoyal, that you can't redeem it, that you can't do geula to it. Now, what does that mean? Says the Braisa, that means to say, ve'ena nimker, it cannot be sold. Not just can't redeem, which is deconsecrating, but you can't even transfer ownership, which is called selling. Now, the way we know this is, the Gemara is going to tell us later on, because here it says Lo'igol, and it says Lo'igol by the laws of Charamim, which teaches us that it cannot be sold. So says the Braisa, that's Lo'i Chai v'Lo'i Shachat, not when it's alive, not when it's slaughtered, Lo'i Tam v'Lo'i Bamum, not unblemished and not blemished, which is Lo'igol, no, there you can't redeem it at all. Not, I mean, you can't sell it. So you see that Maisa Behemet cannot be sold. So what's the Mishnah telling us that you can't sell it in the marketplace? What do you can't sell it at all? Says the Gemara, Hamilsa Ikshi Leila Rav Sheshib Urta. He says, yeah, this halacha, this question, bothered Rav Sheshis in the evening. But Vishanya Bikad Musa, in the morning when he woke up, he answered it, Mi Braisa, from a Braisa, which Gemara later on is going to explain, what's this Braisa? But based on that Braisa, he answers as follows. Over here in our Mishnah, what are we talking about? He says, you're right. As we learned in this last price, so that you can't sell Maisa Behema, but our mission is talking about that says you could sell it, you just can't sell it in the marketplace. It's talking about Maisa Behema Shal Yisrei Maskin. We're talking about the Maisa Behema, the tenth of the animal that comes out, owned by orphans. Oh, Mishum Hashavas Aveda, and because of returning a lost object, meaning to say, because of the loss that would be for the orphans, because they're not going to be able to eat up all the Maisa Behemas and it's going to spoil, and therefore, in that context, because we're talking about the laws of not as a Maisa Behemah is brought as a carbon, but rather that which is blemish, which is utilized by the owner himself. So Naguba, it's because of that element that they said, oh, that's why our Mishnah was talking about that they're allowed to sell it. It's just you're not allowed to sell it in the marketplace. And therefore, that's why it's not a contradiction from that price. Now, Ravidi, says the Gemara, who is Sarat Seder Rav Sheshes Hava, he was the attendant of Rav Sheshes, the Shamenei, he heard from Rav Sheshes, like we just quoted, this answer. To answer this question, which was difficult, Maisa Behema, you can't sell in the market, or you can't sell it at all. Rav Sheshes says, oh, but we were talking about Yisaimim, so therefore it could be sold, just not in the marketplace. So Shamanah, he heard from him this answer, and Azal Amr Be Midrash, he went and said over in the Beis Medrash, this answer. Now, V'loy Amra Mishmei, but he didn't say it over in the name of Rav Sheshes, he just said over the answer. So Shamanah Rav Sheshes, Ikbet Rav Sheshes heard this, that he said over without saying in his name, and he was bothered by this. Amr, he said, Manda Akit, whoever was that bit me, and poke me, who meaning to say that they didn't say it over my name, li'aktei akrava, let a scorpion bite him, meaning let him be excommunicated. Now the Gemara wonders, Rav Sheshes, my nafka, let me know, what was the big difference of Rav Sheshes that he had to say it over in his name and that he didn't? Says the Gemara, because the Amr B'Huda Amar Rav, says, Ma'idach said, what does it mean the Pasuk in Tehillim? That David HaMelech says, aguru ba'alecha ilamim, let me dwell in your tents in the worlds. Now the question is, that's in the plural. Could a person live in two worlds at the same time? You're either in this world or the next world. What was David HaMelech asking? Elohama David, rather, because David HaMelech was saying, Rebbeinu Shalom, master of the world, Yemru Devar Shmua Mepi Ba'il Mazeh, let them say over a teaching of mine in this world, even when I'm in the next world. Why? Because the Amr B'yechidim Shem Reb Shimon Yechi. Any Talmudic scholar that they say over a teaching of his in this world, his lips are moving in the grave. So although he's in the next world, it's like he's living in this world. And Vamar Bitzchel Bar Zeiri says, Micro, what's a pasuk that illustrates this? A pasuk in Shir Hashirim. It says, and your palate, Kiyayin HaTov, is like the good wine. Haylich L'daydi L'meisharim, goes to my beloved straight. Daiviv Siv Se Yishanim, which speaks the lips of those who are sleeping, meaning the lips of those who are sleeping are moving. And that's a benefit for the person where it's like as if he's alive. Which is, why is it Kiyayin HaTayv? Which is Kikaymer Shalanovim, because it's like the pile of grapes which is gathered into one vessel for 7 or 8 days, which gets pressed together and then it ripens. Where Ma'akaymer Shalanovim, just like this big pile of grapes. Kimin Da'adam Nageya, by once a person touches this vat, he touches that pile, Daiviv, so the whole thing moves. Of Talmud the Chachamim, so too it's saying Talmudic scholars, Kibin Sha'adim Aymer Dvar Shmu Mipiv, once a person says over a teaching of his from his mouth, Daivis Sivais Bekever, his lips are moving in the grave. Therefore, he was particular that say it over my name so that they could say it over, and then his lips could be moving when he's in the grave too. Now, then the Gemara goes back and says, okay, so my Brisa, what was this Brisa we said before that, oh, he had this answer to resolve the question based on a Brisa? Which Brisa was this? This is Gemara, the time that we learned the Brisa. Maisa behema shal yisaimim, the maisa behema of orphans, says the Brisa, meicher naisa, this is the source that he was coming from, that you could sell it. Now, maisa behema shashachtu, and the maisa behema that was slaughtered, so although you're not allowed to sell the meat of a maisa behema, but rather the fats and the skin and the tendons that you could sell, so what you could do is, when you slaughtered the maisa behema, let's say you can't eat all the meat yourself, so then mavliyoi, so then he could go ahead and absorb the sale of the meat, but he could sublimate it by in the sale of the skin, bechelbay and the fats, or begidai and the tendons, or bekarnav and with the horns, meaning sell the oir, the gidin, and all those other things in the expensive price, how much the whole animal is worth with the meat, but don't sell the meat. Give the meat as a gift in that inflated price. So when you do havla, you're not selling the meat, which is forbidden, but rather you're gifting it, but you're charging everything else a higher price, and therefore, thus, indirectly selling the meat. Now, the Gemara wonders, however, my comma, what was this Brisa saying? The Brisa opens up by saying that the Maisa Behema of orphans you could sell, which sounds like in the normal way, and then it says, oh, when you sell it, you have to be Mavliya yet. So can you sell it straight up, or do you have to go ahead and do it in this indirect way? So Amabai, he says, this is what the Brisa is saying. Maisa Behema shall yisaymim, meichu naisa behavla, it's one halacha. Yeah, the Maisa Behema of orphans, you could sell it, but you could only sell it in Havla way, in sublimating it in the sale of all those other items. Now, the inference is, says the Gemara, Mechlal de Kadl. So the inference is that an adult, meaning that's not an orphan, that Behavla loy, he can't even sell his meat in this absorbed way in the other things that are allowed to be sold. And that is the Gemara, Maishna Mahadatanya, which is actually a Mishnah Mesach de Sukkah. What's the difference in that Mishnah which tells us, Halakeach Lulav Mechaber? Someone's purchasing a lulav, the palm fronds that is used on the Yom Tov of Sukkah, is from his friend who is an Amma Aretz, who is not so trustworthy, and it's Beshvius. It's in the year of the Shemitah year. Now, the Shemitah year is unique, which is forbidden to do business with Shemitah produce. Now, generally, produce that were plucked in the Shemitah year are not problematic. Why? Because they were grown in the sixth year, now they're just gathered and harvested in the seventh year. Now, generally, trees, they go, what year are we qualifying them from? They go after what's called chanota, when they're ripening. So too, that includes the lulav. So therefore, you could purchase the lulav from the Am Aretz in the Shemitah year, because you're actually not purchasing from him Shemitah produce. It's actually considered sixth year produce. Now, an exception to this, however, is the esrog. An esrog is not allowed to be purchased from an Am Aretz in the Shemitah year, even though the chanota, the ripening, was in the sixth year, because the esrog would qualify based on when it's harvested, not when it's ripened. And therefore it's qualified as the produce of the Shemitah year. Now, hence, it's a prohibition to give monies of Shemitah produce to the Am Aretz, because he's going to go ahead and do business with that, And he's not going to go ahead and liquidate that monies at the time of when you have to liquidate all the Shemitah produce and all its derivations, which is when the wild animals don't have it anymore, and he's not going to be careful with that. So if you're not going to give him money for Shemitah produce, so says the Mishnah, what do you do? So, nice and le'esek b'matana. So you can purchase a lulav from him, which is considered a 60-year produce, but the esrog you can't, so he let him gift you the esrog. And the reason is, lafisha in the rishon, like we said, because you're not allowed to buy from him the Shemitah produce, which includes the esrog, in the Shemitah year. Now, Vavinba, we had asked regarding that Mishnah, loy rotza litin loy b'matana mai. What do you do if the Am Haaretz doesn't want to gift him the esrog? What can you do then? So Vam Rafun, he says, mavliya loy d'mei esrog b'lulav. What you could do is, give him more money, pay him a higher price for the lulav, and then he'll absorb the esrog in that sale. So he won't be selling it because it's forbidden to buy the esrog from him, but then he'll be willing to go ahead and give the esrog. So one thing you see is that, however, that havlo works, not just like in a dispensation for Yisrael, it works even for an adult. So why are we saying regarding the previous halacha that Maisa Behema, you cannot sell the medium of havlo? Here we see you could do havlo. Says the Gemara, no, because Hasam le mucha milsa. Nearby the lulav and the esrog, it's not so obvious that you're doing this havla, because an esrog doesn't cost so much, at least in the way that the Talmudic mechanism is being described over here. So it's not so recognized that when you're absorbing it in the price of the lulav. However, hacha, here, even if you're doing, quote, havla, it's still mucha milsa. It's still obvious that you're, quote, selling the meat, because everyone knows that the skin is not sold for such a high inflated price. And we know that's what's being included is the meat, and therefore you're running back into the problem of we don't let you sell the meat. Regarding the lulav and the esrog, however, the lulav could be a certain price, and the esrog, which it's not so obvious that the lulav is so overpriced and that the esrog is being included, and therefore there, that allows us to go ahead and do this havla. It's not like you're really selling the esrog, and therefore there it's permitted, and here it's forbidden, and therefore it's still not a contradiction on this halacha of the brisa. Now, however, Amar Rava. Rava asks in this interpretation of the Brisa of Abaye, and he says, Imkain. But if it's the way Abaye interpreted that it's all one case, so then Maisa Behema Trei Zimni, and this that the Brisa says the word Maisa Behema two times, Lamali. Why does it say two times the word Maisa Behema? It says, Maisa Behema Shal Yisayim Meichu Naisli, or Maisa Behema Shashachtim Avli Ba'ir Bechel Bebegid Bekarnav. Why say that word twice if, like, Abaye is qualifying it, that's one case? So Elamar Rava, rather, he says, no, Hachakama. The Brisa is two different cases. First, it tells us Ma'isa Behema Shal Yisaimim, this Ma'isa Behema of orphans. That's one case. Yeah, you could tell in the normal way. And that's why it says the word Ma'isa. Then it says a different case. Ma'isa Behema Degadol Shashachtu. Then a Ma'isa Behema of an adult, not an orphan, that was slaughtered. That Mavliyei Ba'ir Bechel Be'Begida Be'Karnav. That, yeah, like actually, like we had said from the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah, that you could do Havla, even an adult, because, yeah, that's not so obvious, and that's therefore going to be permitted to do Havla, even for the meat of a regular Ma'isa Behema. Now, Amar Rabbi says, Menah Minel, he says, and where do I know this from? So he says, because the Chsiv, the Pasuk says in Yikra, it says, V'hayuhu Usmarasa Yikaitish, in this Pasuk of Ma'isa Behema, it says that it, the meaning of the Ma'isa Behema, and the animal that you're trying to swap the sanctity to, both of them will be holy. And the Pasuk says, Lo Yigoyal, that you can't redeem it. Now, from this Lo Yigoyal, we learn out, like we said before, that it cannot be sold. Now, so therefore, when the Torah is saying that you're not allowed to sell the Ma'isa Behema, it's comparing it to the laws of Temura, which that's the words right before it in this Pasuk, Hayuhu Smarasi. We're comparing the prohibition of selling the Ma'isa Behema to the laws of Temura. So therefore, that tells us as follows. Amos Ayosi Temura, when does the laws of Temura apply? That's only Mechayim, when the animal is still alive. Then we're saying, if you try to do Temura, once it's dead, there's no law of Temura. So therefore, the same thing would apply. So when the Pasuk continues says, and when is it that the Torah is telling us that you cannot go ahead and sell? So that's Mechayim. So therefore, that's going to be the same thing. Now, Halacha Shchita Nigel. But the inference is, but after it's slaughtered, then it could be sold. Now, but V'rabbanan, and the Gersa takes out the letter Hey from the next word, Hu Degazru Lacha Shchita. The rabbis came along and they made a gezerah, they made a decree, that no, we're not going to let you sell after slaughtering, Atu Lefnei Shchita, because you might come to do it, which is biblically prohibited, selling it before it's slaughtered. Like we said, that's what the Brisa said, that it cannot be sold not alive, not slaughtered, but as Rav is qualifying, but it's not the same. When it's alive, it's biblically prohibited. when it's slaughtered, then it's rabbinically prohibited. Now, on that, Rava continues and he says as follows. Something that's evaluated, I mean, that's sold mechayim when the animal's still alive, which that's, for example, like the meat, because the whole distinguishment of an animal and that it's being sold is for the meat itself. So by the meat, that's where they made the rabbinic decree saying, okay, we're not going to let you sell it after it's slaughtered because you might come to sell it before it's slaughtered, which that's the biblical prohibition. However, as a continued type of lamed beizam and aleph, but davar she'eini shemechayim, something that's not sold when the animal is still alive, like the skin or the tendons, where that's not so distinct, and therefore an animal is not going to be sold because of the hide. So lo gaz rabbanon. So the other rabbis didn't make a gzera, and they said, okay, after the animal is slaughtered, like we said, those things could be sold. It's just the meat cannot be sold. But therefore, you could do havlah of selling the meat through those other things, which are permitted to be sold, even by an adult. Now, but regarding an orphan because of a Shavas Aveda, ukmur rabbana deraisa, the rabbi said that it's going to be qualified in the biblical law, which is after it's slaughtered, it could be sold in the normal way. And therefore, it says that's how Rav explains these two halachas of the braisa, that how it makes sense that, yes, it's prohibited after it's slaughtered, but that's only rabbinically, so therefore, by the maisa behema of the orphan, we kept it in biblical law that you could sell in the normal way. But regarding the word, the halacha of havlah, so that was said regarding a regular gadol, because the horns and the older other things, the tendons, those are things that we didn't even make it to Zayir Drabbanan, but that we said you could sell. And the meat, which you're still not allowed to sell rabbinically, that we said, okay, but through Havlon, those other things, that is something that would be permitted.